Florida State versus Alabama. Michael, this is a massive game. But is it the most important game of Mike Norvell's tenure at FSU? That's what we're going to talk about today. We are going to get into why it might be the most important game, maybe while it's not. We got a kick time that has been announced since our last recording. And then we're going to talk about a little bit of the details of the game, why Florida State can win this game, and maybe what some of the expected outcome might be. So got a fun show today talking about football. Michael, we are 99 days away from this game. The countdown is officially on. Depending on when you're watching this, we're recording on Friday. Just hit the 100-day mark. So you know, it's over 3 months, but man, once you get below that 100-day mark, it sure does seem to fly by. So before you know it, we will be in Doak sweating our butts off because it's going to be 3:30 p.m. kick. We're going to talk about that there in a minute. So man, excited for this episode. But before we do that, how are you, my friend? And man, ready to talk about this Bama game.
I know, man. I'm good, Jesse. Thanks for having me on. This is the dog days of summer. This is when you start scouring the internet, when you're like deep into the Twitter sphere, just looking for any nuggets you can find about Florida State football, right? This is when like you're just desperate. You're rereading articles just to try to get to keep your mind on it. I can't believe we're 99 days away and 99 days away from what might be, which we will talk about today, one of the most important games in the Mike Norvell era.
Right. And you know, the thing is, we didn't say, is this the biggest game? Is this, you know, whatever, the most intense game or anything like that? Of course, it's probably the biggest game right now. But this is more of a conversation. Is this the most important game of Mike Norvell's career? Because again, this program and his career at Florida State is at a crossroads. And so that's kind of what we're going to lay out today. Hopefully I don't have any echo, guys. I'm using a new mic and we couldn't record last week because I had some new flooring put down in my office here. So hopefully if it is, we'll get it remedied. Before we jump into this topic, Michael, I do want to take a quick second and say thank you to Knoll Nation. You guys came through for us. The last episode, we were pushing to finally cross that 2,000 subscriber mark on YouTube, and you guys did it in grand fashion. We are well over that mark now at, I think, 2,018 subscribers. Yeah. So, man, I cannot thank you guys enough. We cannot thank you guys enough. You guys are as much of this part of the show as we are. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't for you. You know, this is fun for us. This is just kind of our outlet to vent and hang out with you guys. So thank you so much for pushing us over the 2,000 subscriber mark. It's been a big goal of ours that we've been inching steadily for, and then you guys just threw us right over the mark. So really excited about that, man, and on to 3,000.
Yes, let's go. Can you help us get to 3,000, man? Help us get there, because we know there are other Knoll fans out there that just want a place where they can hear about Florida State football, not be bombarded by all the clickbait stuff, but just talk about the good old what we love, Florida State. And so help us get to 3,000. We appreciate that. But thank you so much for helping us get to 2,000.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you guys so much. And also shout out to my guy Jody the other day that I ran into at the grocery store. Because, you know, I wear Florida State stuff. Like 90% of my wardrobe is Florida State stuff. That's why I'm like the easiest person to shop for. Birthdays, Christmas, it's all Florida State stuff. And so I had an FSU shirt on the other day, and he gave me the chop and said, go Knowles. And we chopped it up for about 10 minutes talking about the team. He subscribed right there on the spot. So I really appreciate that. So I told him I'd give him a shout out on the next episode. And if you ever do happen to see me in public, I am a public chopper, right? If you see me, you better give me a chop. You better say go Knowles, because I say it to everybody. And if you're a Miami fan or a Gator fan, you best believe I'm going to chop at you too. I'm going to throw the upside down you or something like that. So definitely. If you ever see me, definitely give me a chop, because I'm probably going to be chopping at you. So
that's right.
Let's jump right into this Alabama game. Now this is a huge one. And again, we're a long way away. And once we have some finer details, you know, we'll work on a preview for that game when we get closer to the season. But in this summer setting, we are more talking about, is this game going to be the most important game of Mike Norvell's career at Florida State? Now, FSU Bama, like we said, less than 100 days away. We do have a 3:30 kick time. It is going to be nationally televised on ABC. So it's going to be a big national game. You know, I'm going to be honest, Michael, that 3:30 kick time is pretty disappointing, right? Yeah. And I understand a lot of that is our own fault, right? We didn't kind of hold up the bill. LSU Clemson got the nighttime slot, and, you know, LSU didn't do a whole lot last year, but they weren't 2-10. Clemson did make the playoffs, so I guess it is understandable. On a side note, I don't know that as Florida State fans, we want game day in town, but because it is our own Lee Corso's final show, I'm really hoping that they do come to Tallahassee so he can go out in front of the home crowd there. I really wish, you know, inside of a new remodeled Doak Campbell Stadium. I thought this would have been a great game to have at nighttime in prime time. Woo, boy, you better bring some sunscreen and you better hydrate because it's going to be hot. But either way, man, I think even at 3:30, the atmosphere is going to be massive. I mean, there is going to be it is going to be electric there in Tallahassee all weekend inside Doak Campbell Stadium. I can't wait for it. But yeah, man, 3:30 is a little bit of a bummer. Maybe if you want to read into it, hey, that is like the SEC primetime. So maybe they're just kind of be like, hey, this is what it feels like to be in there. But it is also a part of a massive opening weekend. This is a get your butt on the couch in front of the TV type of weekend here.
That's right.
I mean, you're starting out, you got Syracuse and Tennessee, which could be a sneaky good game. You also have the LSU-Clemson game that we talked about. There you have Virginia Tech and South Carolina playing as well. You got Alabama-Florida State, of course, Georgia Tech-Colorado. You got Notre Dame-Miami on Sunday. Man, Michael, this is a massive, massive weekend to open the college football season. Of course, there's going to be some week zero games. I think you got Kansas State, Iowa State, or something like that. But, you know, that first Saturday, man, in the fall is going to be one, a blockbuster Saturday that you can't miss. So give me some thoughts on that opening weekend, that 3:30 kick time, and then we'll get into the topic of this show.
Well, I have breaking news for you. How about that? Brent McMurphy reports that with Texas at Ohio State on Fox, it appears Lee's Corso's last headgear game will be August 30th. Is Alabama at Florida State, his alma mater. Corso should dress as Osceola, throw a framing spear on the College Day desk for his final pick, then ride off and renegade into the sunset. But so
That'd Brent be awesome. McMurphy. And I forgot about Texas Ohio State too. That's another one to add to the list.
Yeah. So it looks like we'll most likely end up having College Game Day right here because, you know, Texas, Ohio State, they got that big noon kickoff for the Big Ten. So likely to have Lee Corso here. And I think that's cool. I think that's the best way for him to go out. You know, this is his alma mater. He's put on the headgear. It'd be great to have him at the center's field. Let Osceola land. Get off, give him
let him plant the spear.
Yeah, man. Let him plant that spear right in the middle of that. It'd be perfect. It'd be a great way to end what was an amazing career. And, you know, I was disappointed, too, about that 3:30 kick, man. I really thought this would be a night game. And you and I both know Doak at night is a different animal.
It is.
It's a different experience. And yes, this game will get into the night, but to have it start out in the night, to have all day to tailgate, to get the crowd riled up, you know, all those Bama fans going to be over, all the trash talking we're going to do, even though we don't know if we will or will not win, we're still going to trash talk, right?
We're both 0-0 at that point.
Exactly. It would have been great, but you know what? It's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be, I can't imagine new Doak not being sold out, at least for this game to start the season. And I'm looking forward to it. I know you won't be able to be there, but you'll be there in spirit. We'll still be doing the post game and all the pre stuff leading up to that. I'll be there live on location for that game as well. I can't wait till it gets here. I mean, gosh, 99 days seems like forever from now.
I know. And I'm sad about missing it. You know, who knows? I may pop up at the last minute. I'm going to have tickets. I'm just probably going to sell them, but I am going to be at the Miami game. So just a couple weeks later, but it's going to be huge, dude. So let's talk about this. So right now, Bama is currently an 11.5 point favorite over Florida State, according to FanDuel. So, I mean, they are the favorite to win this game. If you break it down with the over-under of around 51.5, that implied score would be Bama winning 31-20. Now, why we say so, let me set the stage for this, because this is a show topic that I came up with a couple months ago, and then we were kind of going to save it for closer to the season, but I thought it would fit now with the kick time and everything coming into picture, into focus. And I was talking about this with my guy Jody the other day. We were talking about that game and just how important it was and kind of what you want to see out of it. So I thought it was a good time to do this. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of set the stage of what my thought process for this episode was. So I may get a little long-winded here for just a second, and then I'm going to throw it to Michael and let him kind of give his two cents on everything, and then we'll just kind of go back and forth and go with it. Then we have some CFP straight seeding news that we're going to talk about, a little bit of baseball talk, and then we're going to get out of here. So why I think this is the most important game of Mike Norvell, or why the question of is this the most important game of Mike Norvell's career came about is because, like we said, man, he's at a crossroads right now. Like you have an opportunity to pick yourself up off the mat in 2025, but you also have an opportunity to bury yourself in 2025 because, you know, confidence in Mike Norvell right now, being able to fix this, is at an all-time low. And you know, we try to be positive on the show, and we are positive. And I do believe that Mike Norvell can get this thing right. I do believe that. But like I always say, by running the social media page and the YouTube and stuff here at Plant the Spear, I get to see a broad range of the fan base. You know, 20,000 people follow us or whatever. So I get to see a lot of comments. And there's a very big part of the fan base that does not believe in Mike Norvell anymore. And rightfully so. You know, we were talking about it. You've had some losing seasons. You've had some really bad losses in there. We're not here to rehash the negative stuff, but I understand their thought process on that, right? But this also comes as a really dynamic answer, right? Because is it the most important game? Well, it is right now, but depending on the outcome of that game, the next game may become the most important. So keep in mind, this is a dynamic answer because your circumstance defines a lot of your expectations. And that's why this game is so important. You know, had Florida State had went, you know, let's say you had 2023 and 2024 never happened. Maybe you didn't lose to Georgia the way you did. You were coming into this game off a 13-1 season, maybe a close loss to Georgia in the Orange Bowl. Yes, this game would be big, but would it be the most important? No, not even remotely close. I don't think so. But because of what happened last year, coming into this year, your circumstance has created this to be one of the most important games just from a program perspective in his career in Tallahassee. And so I say, is it? I say yes, kind of, right? Because it's going to set a couple of stages for a few different things here. Now, the first place I go to this is what I call the Clemson comparison. So if you think back to last year, remember, Clemson coming into 2024, they had gone 9-4 the previous season. They had a blowout loss to Duke in 2023. They missed the ACC championship game. They hadn't made the playoffs in 3 years. Dabo had to make some staff changes. Their recruiting had started to slip. You know, he was out there arguing with fans, Tyler from Spartanburg, and that whole situation. His seat was not hot like Mike Norvell's.
Right.
But it was starting to feel stale there in Clemson. Then they open up the season with a 31-point loss to Georgia. They lost 34-3, and the noise got loud. Can Dabo recover? Is it time to move on? Clemson fans really didn't know what they were going to do. But the thing was, they lost by 31 points, and then they went on to win the ACC and to make the playoffs. So that kind of sets to where when you look at forward to this year with Florida State and Alabama, like, yeah, okay, so you might, let's say the same situation happens, right? I would say that most FSU fans would be extremely pissed if you came out and lost to Bama 34-3 in week one. I think we would all be pissed. The apathy would be just unfathomable in the fan base. We'd be like, oh, here we go again. It's going to be another long year. But, Michael, what if I told you ahead of time that if you accepted a 34-3 loss to Bama, it would mean by the end of the season, you were 10-4, you won the conference, and you made the playoffs. Mm. I'd be willing to bet that probably 90% of the fan base would take that deal. And I think the majority of the fans would rather take that than beating Bama and going 6-6. Like, say you just kind of get lucky and beat them and then go 6-6. So what you do in that game really determines what the rest of the season needs to look like, not what it should look like. Because if you lose 34-3, that seat is going to be so hot you can't sit down.
Yeah.
But as they say, Michael, there's only two guarantees in life, and that is death and taxes. We can't guarantee you're going to lose that game and then do what Clemson did. You have to be able to respond. So to me, what the Bama game does, in my opinion, is it sets the stage for the rest of the season. You know, because again, the big difference is Mike Norvell's seat is hot and confidence is low. Dabo was feeling stale, but they were still winning games. And so I think you kind of really, I think most people are in the boat of you have about three situations, right?
Yep.
You either come into this game, you're either going to lose big, lose small, or you're going to win. And to me, I don't say win big or win small because it doesn't matter. If you win by 1 point or by 20, you're going to be ecstatic that you beat Bama, period.
Right.
So for Mike Norvell, I think if you lose this Bama game badly, you must rebound throughout the rest of the season. The margin for error went from slim to none because there is a stink on this program that you have to get off. And a blowout loss to open the season would be detrimental to accomplishing that in recruiting, in fan perception, in fan support. You know, how packed are the next games going to be? Like, sure, you'll probably win the next two games against East Texas A&M and Kent State, but those two teams aren't going to move the needle for the fan base. Oh, great, we beat you know, some FCS teams and a bad FBS team. Like, that's not going to ease the pain of getting blown out by Alabama.
Right.
So I think if you lose that Bama game badly, you better win at least 8 games. And you probably need to upset one of your rivals or you're in trouble. Now, are they going to fire Mike Norvell? I think it depends on how the rest of the season looks. It depends on how Alabama turns out to be. But you may be in a dead man walking situation. Now, if you compete in this game and you lose, say, 34-27, I think most people would not be happy with that, because we should never be happy with a loss at a place like Florida State. We should never accept losing as being okay. But I don't think the fan base would be ready to just break out the pitchforks either. I don't think that's the case. Now, you still need to perform the rest of the season. You can't just, you know, lose close and then bomb the rest of the season. But a close loss to Alabama does look a long way from 2-10, at least, right?
Right.
Because it all depends in large part what Bama does end up being. And no, this is not Nick Saban's Alabama. Yes, they lost to Vandy last year. Yes, they got blown out by a 6-6 Oklahoma team. But they were still on the doorstep of making the playoffs. And it was still year one under Kalen DeBoer. Now, granted, he inherited a Ferrari. But at the same time, it was still year one.
Right.
Now, if you win this game, again, by 1 or 100, ooh, 100 would be crazy.
It'd be nice.
Just by one. If you win, imagine the perception boost you would get, because pretty much nobody expects Florida State to win this game.
Right.
It would be absolutely massive to win this game in front of your home crowd, your boosters on national TV. It would be huge for recruiting. It would be huge for confidence within the team and within the program. But again, you can't go flop after that. You still have to go perform the rest of the season. Now, I think the good thing is, either way, you have 3 weeks, because remember, you have a bye week between East Texas A&M and Kent State. You have 3 weeks to recover, and you should end up at 2-1 going into that Virginia game. Hopefully you win that. You're 3-1 going into Miami. But this game is just so important. And I think really at the end of the day, of course you want to win, but you at least have to be competitive. Because, you know, if you lose this game big, you win those two games, you win a close one at Virginia, then you lose to Miami. You win a couple of games, you lose to Clemson. You win a couple games, you lose to Florida. Then all of a sudden, this thing has spiraled into a season that you are extremely disappointed in. So to kind of sum all that up, and then I'll throw it back to you, Michael, is I think this game is right now the most important game in Mike Norvell's career because of what you're trying to bury the past, right? And if you lose this game badly, it's going to link you right back to 2-10. Like, oh, here we go again. It's the same thing. We need to move on. But what this game does is it defines what the rest of your season needs to look like. Because if you lose this game badly and you recover like Clemson did last year, then I think you can live with that. I think it's okay. It'll be so far in the rear view. You'll be disappointed, but you'll be okay with it. But man, depending on what happens in this game, the pressure is now at a boiling point for what you do the rest of the season. If you get blown out in this game, you absolutely must perform at a high level and recover absolutely, like Clemson did last year. I think if you lose close, man, then you know, 8-4 is acceptable. And if you win this game, as long as you don't fall off a cliff, plus, like, you know, like you were saying, I don't want to steal your thoughts here, but if you win this game, then you feel a lot better about the rest of the season absolutely, going forward. You just can't fall off a cliff. So, man, this is the reason I say it's dynamic, is because if you lose this game, then I think probably almost every game becomes the most important at that point, because you can't lose to UVA.
Absolutely.
You don't want to go lose to Miami. Miami might be the most important one at that point. But I think for setting the tone for this season and burying the mental trauma we have from last year as Florida State fans in our head, this is the most important game of Mike Norvell's career. And there's been some big wins. There has been the UNC game in 2020, the LSU games. You know, those were massive games. But I think the circumstance you find yourself in right now, based on what happened last year, this Alabama game is the most important game of his career right now.
Yeah. Oh man, those are some really good points. And man, Jesse, have you ever looked back at a stretch of time and just thought, how did we survive that?
Yeah.
How in the world did we survive that? That's kind of how I feel about the last 5 seasons about Florida State football under Mike Norvell. I mean, you have to think about this journey, okay? Let me just take you on a journey real quick. It's 2020. COVID has turned everything upside down. first year head coach, broken locker room, no real offseason. Florida State goes 3-6, right?
Yep.
And it wasn't just bad. It was it was weird. It was disorienting.
Yeah.
We weren't just losing game. We were losing what it meant to be Florida State, right? You know, gone were the days where people were walking into Doak Campbell and being scared. We were no longer the hunter. We were the hunted. We were overlooked. We were made fun of, right?
Mocking then, the war chant.
People mocking the war chant. Okay. Then 2021 comes. It's a 5-7 record. Mm-hmm, a little better, but still no bowl. Some tough losses that made us wonder, okay, is Norvell really the guy, right?
First ever FCS loss.
FCS loss. You were there. You vivid Thanks. Memory.
Thanks. Talking about mental trauma.
Right? Mental trauma, right? But under the surface, we thought something's building, right? Yeah. We thought, okay, maybe this climb thing about this culture is starting to shift. You saw glimpses of it, right? Because remember, the last seven games, they went 4-3, yep. I think at the end, right? They went 4-3 to end the season. So you saw it coming. Then 2022 comes, and suddenly we're like 10 wins, a bowl victory. Jordan Travis takes this huge leap in his ability to quarterback the offense. The offense is clicking. The defense begins to resemble something that looked kind of like what we were doing with Mickey Andrews, right? And it wasn't like we were back, but we were definitely relevant again, right?
Right.
We just beat Oklahoma. Yes, they were 6-6, but man, we had a demon. We had to exercise that demon against Oklahoma. Yeah. We were coming back. People were watching us again. Recruits were calling. I mean, and maybe for the first time, there was this belief that, oh, we might be back to it. I moved to Orlando. You're in the Carolinas there, and we connect at Virginia Tech, and we're like, hey, let's build on this momentum. 23, right? 13-0, ACC champs. We whooping it. Tail everywhere. Yes.
Beat Clemson for the first time in 10 years in Death Valley.
Yeah, in Death Valley. I mean, it was incredible. And then comes the day after the ACC championship, and that left a scar. Right. It was a year where we finally played like we were a blue blood of the sport again. But then we got treated like an afterthought. And was it fair? No. Should it have been motivating? Absolutely. It should have. I mean, Mike, we said that 2024 was going to be Mike's. What did we call it? Mike's
like the redemption tour.
The redemption tour, like Mike's villain stage. Like he was coming out and we were taking prisoners. No names whatsoever. And then the bottom fell out. I mean, just completely fell out. And it wasn't just a bump in the road. I mean, it was a landslide, right?
Yeah.
Injuries, poor depth, questionable game management, brutal performances on both sides of the ball. I mean, it felt like everything we had built in those last 2 years just went away. And suddenly, I mean, just the fan base was just like, how in the world are we here again? And so now here we are, August 30th, Alabama, and at Doak Campbell Stadium, national TV. Yes, it's not the night game, but still that 3:30 time slot, right? So I say all that to say it's only the biggest game because it's the next game, but this is the most important game of Mike Norvell's career. And it's not even close in my mind. It's not even close. Not because Alabama is the most beatable they've been in the decade, right? Not because all the eyes of the nation are watching. Not because it's a season over. Because this game tells the truth.
Yeah.
This game is going to tell the truth about Florida State and Mike Norvell. If Florida State shows up and competes, win or lose, if it's a 31, I think you said 31-20, 31-24, if it's within a touchdown, right? Okay, so then maybe 2024 becomes like that 2-10 was like just a crazy thing of circumstance, right. a weird chapter. But if we get blown out, Jesse, if it looks like the wheels are still off, if it looks like we got a Buick Chevy GT Mustang with no wheels on it and the engine's missing, well, then 2023 actually feels like the outlier and everything else is the actual truth. And then I think at that point, you have no choice if you're this administration. So for Mike Norvell, this game is all about regaining the trust of the fan base, of the boosters, of the players, of the recruits, because make no mistake about it, people are watching, not just ESPN or social media, but the 17-year-old five-star who's trying to decide whether they should go to Tallahassee or Athens or Tuscaloosa, right? They want to know, is Florida State serious? And if Mike Norvell can't prove it now, when the lights are its brightest and the stakes are higher, then he can't prove it ever again. That's right. My case.
Yeah, and I think the couple of points on that is, like, first off, you know, we were talking about this before the show where, like, Florida State is should never be in a position where you're nervous to, like, go. I mean, we're always nervous to go to Carter Finley because that place is the house of horrors. But, like, you should not be nervous about having Pitt at home in Doak or Virginia Tech or something like that. And so, you know, the one important part of this is this the most important game for Florida State? I'd say probably no. Is this the most important for Mike Norvell? Yes.
Yes.
Because when you talk about Florida State as a whole, as a perspective, right, what Clemson did last year shows you that this out-of-conference game with automatic qualifier bids, it doesn't matter, right? Like, this game really doesn't actually matter. It doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things, because if your goal is to make the playoffs, you can lose this game by 100 and still go make the playoffs. That's exactly what Clemson did last year. They also lost their last game against South Carolina, but it was an SEC game, so it doesn't, you know, against an SEC opponent. So they were still able to get into the playoffs. So from a grand perspective of your goals in 2025, is it the most important? No. But for Mike Norvell, who's trying to prove, who, like you said, man, it's like a scale. Like, you have 13-1 on one side, 23 and four, and then you have the three losing seasons and 2-10 on the other side. And which side do we believe is the real Mike Norvell? It's like Eminem, you know, like, who's will the real Slim Shady? Will the real Mike Norvell please stand up? Like, who is this guy?
Right.
And you know, when I say not fearing the ACC teams, is because we're not putting our belief, we're not paying Mike Norvell I'm not paying him $10 million a year, but we're not collectively paying $10 million a year to Mike Norvell to be a middling ACC team, right? You're making that kind of money to compete with the Bamas of the world, you know? And again, like I said, I know this isn't Saban's Bama, but this is still a very good Alabama team.
Still Bama.
And they still have a lot of talent on that team. And you get them at your house. You are in front of your fans. And so, yes, I 100% feel like that is important, man, is you have to go out and you cannot get run through, you know, like a doormat or something. You have to be able to compete in this game to show that not only is it like, okay, well, maybe we just didn't win because, I mean, truth be told, man, Alabama has a boatload more talent than you right now. It just, it is what it is. They're coming off a, 9-4 season. You're coming off 2-10. They should win this game.
Right.
But you cannot get blown out in this game. And that's why it's so important for Mike Norvell, because for Mike Norvell, if you get blown out in this game, there's going to be a lot of questions. The questions that are already burning in the back of our mind of, is he the guy that can lead us back to the promised land, to where we saw this under Bobby, under Jimbo, under these guys for a brief period of time there? Or is this just kind of like window dressing? You kind of got lucky with that 2023 season with a lot of veteran guys who decided to come back. You kind of struck gold in Jordan Travis. Can he even be that guy? And so that's why I think this game is so important from his perspective, because if you get blown out, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, look, all right, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm jumping off the train now. I'm jumping off the bandwagon. And, you know, even when I was talking to my guy Jody the other day, when we were talking about this game, it was like, you know, I had said, like, man, it's never where I want to be to say, well, as long as we don't lose bad, like, you should go in and want to win this game. Yeah. This is Florida State, man. This is where you should be at. I'm like, if it's 34-27, I'm not going to be happy, but you can be like, all right, well, you know, that's a long way from 2-10 and we should be able to recover and win some games because we just competed with Alabama who, you know, year in and year out would probably win the ACC more often than not.
Right.
You know, and so like, I feel like that. And it's like he was saying, he's like, man, 34-27, that could be one play.
Yep.
And so I think that's important to remember. I think, man, this is a massive game. But I mean, like I said, the one thing is you can lose this game and still accomplish your goals.
Yeah.
But if you lose this game, especially in a bad way, the pressure to perform the rest of the season is insurmountable. You cannot go drop games to UVA, lose to Florida and Miami or Clemson. Or I think at the end of the year, you're digging around to find some money. You're digging in the couch cushions, trying to find $60 million.
Coins out.
That's a big couch, but you're trying to find $60 million to start over.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Like, and I've heard this notion. So let me make sure I defend this point here. because I've heard this notion from like the outside media talk points, and you make a great point, Jesse. This is not the most important game of FSU's program history. It's right. not. Okay, let's just be real. We've been here before. We've taken hits, right? Florida State has had setbacks. The program has lived through dynasty runs, coaching disasters. I mean, top five national championships, bottom low five, swag surfing and getting their butts whooped on live TV by Virginia Tech, right? You've been there. You were there.
I was there. Gosh, man, I'm there for there all for the bad ones.
Right? 2-10 did not kill the brand. Let's just be real about that. 2-10 didn't kill the brand. This logo still matters. This state still produces talents, and the right coach can come in here and get this thing back running up. So FSU isn't fragile. Mike Norvell is fragile. Let's make that clear. Okay. This is year six. He's had time to install his system, shape his roster, build the culture, recruit, develop, and manage both crisis and success. I mean, yes, he took Florida State out of the ashes from the Taggart era to the mountaintop in 2023, but then somehow he drove us right back into the ashes in 2024. That's a wild swing. And those swings, Jesse, brings up questions. Is he an architect? Is he an accident? Can he sustain success? As you and I, we were talking about this text message. Can he actually sustain success? Or is he streaky? Is he a failure? Or is he just spiraling? What is it about him? And that's what this Alabama game is about. It's about him, not Florida State. For Florida State, win or lose, this game ain't going to define our program. We're still going to be Florida State. We're still going to have three national championships. We're still going to have the top two, arguably greatest coach in the history of the world. We're still going to have all the NFL prospects, all the number one draft picks, all those things, right? This is not about Florida State. It's not about you, Florida State fans. This is about Mike Norvell. Can he actually be successful here and sustain it out? Let's say.
Well, I was going to say, and you get a crack at Alabama again next year.
Exactly.
It might be with a different coach, depending on how this game goes.
Exactly. And so, like, let's say Florida State gets blown out, right? What does that do? I mean, it doesn't take away the accomplishments of the 2023 season, but it makes 2024 look like more than just a blimp on the radar. Like, it's a trend. Yeah. It makes recruiting get even worse. And you and I talked about this in the pre-show. You get blown out, the money for NIL and the booster money, man, you might as well just go, mwah, see you later. Yeah. That is gone, right? Fan patience is gone. Now you're looking at all the games where the stadiums are half empty now because why are they showing up? Who's gonna pay all that money? You ain't gonna catch me driving 8 hours to watch that kind of product.
Right.
But let's say we win, Jesse. Let's say we win. Well, then it gets Mike Norvell gets a reset.
Yeah.
Right. He gets a reset. Sure. He proves that 2024 was an exception. He shows that the program is actually on the trend. And this one thing was not this one year was not a condition of everything else. So, yeah, this is a huge game. But let's be absolutely clear. This is not a make or break moment for Florida State. Mm-hmm. This is a make or break moment and a defining moment for Mike Norvell, because Florida State is going to outlast any coach it has. And I love Bobby Bowden. Yeah. But there came a time where Florida State outgrew Bobby Bowden, right?
Yeah, you had to move on. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's the important thing that, like I said, I believe it was on the last episode or an episode ago, two episodes ago, where I want Mike Norvell to succeed because he is the coach at Florida State. And so if he does good, Florida State does good. But I'm a Florida State fan. I don't wear a shirt that says, this does not say on my shirt here, Mike Norvell State University.
This is
about Florida State, right? And so I think that's the most important thing to remember is I want what's best for this program, not what's best for Mike Norvell, but Mike Norvell being successful is what's best for this program.
That's right.
So I still believe in him. I still think he can do this, but this is a big prove it moment for him because again, you know, just if you go out and lose this game by 30 points, the confidence is going to be at an all-time low. What are your players thinking going through the rest of the season? You know, all the quit that we saw last year, is that going to be an issue to come back? Can you rebuild an already questionable culture that it seems like you've kind of got past from last year? And so it's, you know, I know you like wrestling, Michael. This kind of feels like, you know, that GIF or whatever, I hope. GIF, whatever you want.
Yeah,
to call it. You know that thing where it's like the Undertaker and he's in the casket and he's laying back and he slings the door open and he comes back. Like, this is either Mike Norvell's moment to sling the casket open, or to put the nail in the casket.
That's right.
And I feel like a 31-point loss, and then it really depends on what you do after that. You know, again, like I said, you lose this game by 31 points. Yes, apathy will be great among this fan base, but if you were to come back and say, sneak into the conference championship game, maybe you beat Miami and Florida, okay, I guess you can forgive this. But if you don't, then at the end of the year, you got to be asking, what are we doing here? And right. You know, again, if you start having half empty stadiums and the recruiting still isn't there, yeah. You know, this is your chance. Like you said, man, this is your chance to wash your hands of last season, but you have to. And I don't think a lot of people expect Florida State to necessarily win this game, right. But you cannot look like an unmitigated disaster like you did last year. And I do think Florida State is going to be better this year. And so we'll talk a little bit about this game in itself and why we think Florida State does have a chance in this one. So, I mean, when you come into this, like I said, Alabama is currently an 11.5-point favorite. That implied score right now looks something around 31-20. I don't even know that I would be happy with that, right? I think you would want this to be at least a one-score game to be even acceptable of a loss, which, again, you should never be accepting of a loss. But, you know, like you mentioned, man, this is not the Alabama of old, but it's still a really good program. I mean, they were 2-4 outside of Bryant-Denny last year, and you get them in Doak Campbell Stadium. They're probably going to be rolling out. Well, they're going to be rolling out a new quarterback, no matter who they got, but it's probably going to be Ty Simpson. This is a guy that has 51 career pass attempts, only 188 snaps, mostly against non-Power 4 teams. So this is undoubtedly going to be his biggest challenge, probably of his career in game one. There is no tune-up game before this. So I think Florida State, you know, can take advantage of that. We were talking about before the show, and I was like, I really hate this is game one for us because it's against Bama with so many changes, so many new offense, new defense, new pieces, new quarterback, all that type of stuff. Man, if I had a college football magic wand, I would put East Texas A&M in week zero because it would give you a tune-up game for this one. But I think it's equally beneficial that you get Alabama in game one because I don't want them to get a tune-up game with brand new quarterback.
Right.
Because, again, for everything Jalen Milroe was not, he was a massive part of that offense last year. 36 total touchdowns, 3,570 yards last year. Mike, I don't even think we scored 36 touchdowns last year. I'm pretty sure not. He led them in rushing. No backups played more than 75 snaps last year. They lost a lot of other pieces on their offense and defense. They lost their kicker. So, like, they have some questions, too. They did fire their co-DC and their DC or their DB coach, so they're going to be breaking in some new pieces, too. And one of the things that I think can be an X factor in this is I think Thomas Castellanos can be an X factor in this game with his legs. Yeah. I think signing Gavin Sawchuk, the running back from Oklahoma, and having Gus Malzahn, who is a run-heavy offensive play caller, I think can be big because when I started to go back and look at some of the games they lost last year, you know, they got blown out by a 6-6 Oklahoma team on the road.
They did. Yeah.
Well, their quarterback had 68 yards passing and 130 yards rushing. They only passed for 68 yards in that game and blew Alabama out, but they ran for 257 yards as a team. Vandy ran for 166, but they did throw for 252. Tennessee ran for 214, threw for 194. So they ran for more than they threw for. Michigan only threw for 75 yards and beat them. It was only 19-13, but still a win. But they ran for 115 yards. So one thing for everything Gus Malzahn may or may not be, they can run the ball. He is always proven to be able to run the ball. So this game could literally come down to one or two runs broke by Thomas Castellanos versus one or two freshmen, or he's not a freshman, but one or two mistakes by a guy making his first start in a big sold-out atmosphere. That could be the difference in this game. The other thing that I think works in our advantage here is, and again, this is new team, new year, all that stuff. I understand all that. But every game that Alabama lost last year, they got held to 100 yards or fewer than 100 yards rushing. Every game they lost last year. It was also the only games that they got held under 100 yards rushing. Well, Tony White's defense is built to stop the run. They were top 10 in rush defense the past 2 years at Nebraska, number 8 and number 9. So I think the way this game kind of matches up with them breaking in a new quarterback, with you having a very run-first defensive-minded coordinator now, and the fact that you have a run-first offensive coordinator who has went toe-to-toe with Alabama before. It's not like Gus Malzahn is going to be intimidated. He's beat Alabama before. So I think those things work to your advantage. Now, I'm going to be a little bit nervous because we have so many new pieces on our side of the ball in game one. But just looking at those things, man, sometimes that mobile quarterback is the equalizer. And them having, you know, again, if their guy makes a couple of mistakes and Thomas Castellanos breaks one to the house with his legs, maybe not even his arm, you know, if he has 100, look at the OU quarterback. If Thomas Castellanos at the end of this game has 68 yards passing and 131 yards rushing, that could be enough to win. We saw that game was 24-3. It just depends on what your defense does. So, man, I do think Florida State has a chance to win this game, right? And I think Florida State will be much better this year. I don't know how much better they're going to be, but I think they're going to be better. If I had to bet the farm on us winning this game, I don't know that I'd be comfortable doing that. But I do see a path to where Florida State can win this game or to where they can be in it in the fourth quarter where it's that 34-27 type of finish. And, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterback position, because whether you have a lot of confidence in Thomas Castellanos or not, he has played two full seasons as a starter where their guy has never started a game in his career. So it's going to be interesting, man. Give me some thoughts on this game. But like I see a path to where Florida State can do it, but will they? And that's the big question, because, again, everybody wants to win. I don't know how many of us in our heart of hearts expects to win. But, man, I think a lot of us expect that, like, you just cannot get blown out in this game. And I think if Florida State plays well and brings their A game to the table, I think they can win this game. I really do. Yeah. I mean, they lost to Vanderbilt last year. They lost to, you know, a pretty okay Michigan team. They lost to, you know, a not great OU team. They should have lost to South Carolina last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But South Carolina wet the bed. They were 2-4 outside of Bryant Denny. I think Florida State can win this game. And like you said, man, I'll throw it back to you. A win in this game, I don't know that there will be a bigger win in program history because of where you're coming from. I mean, obviously a national championship and all that stuff. I get that. Right. But at least in Mike Norvell's tenure, winning this game, imagine the weight off his shoulders. If you were to win this game, the perception that maybe last year was a fluke.
Yeah. Now, listen, again, this is the biggest game for the Mike Norvell version of Florida State. It's not the biggest game in program history, but it's the biggest game and most important game of the Mike Norvell Florida State program. And yes, I actually think right now, as we are on this day where we are with 99 days left to the season, that Florida State can walk into Doak Campbell Stadium and walk out with a win. And I think there are like three key things that show up. Okay. I think number one is the quarterback. Right. I think and this may be not in order, but I think one of the top things they have to figure out is that Florida State has to win the QB battle. Florida State has the most experienced QB that's going to be on the field between the two. Right. Especially right now with all the pundits of the Alabama media saying that basically Ty Simpson has the leg up on the other one's a redshirt sophomore and the other's a redshirt freshman. I can't think of their name right now, but basically Ty Simpson has that. And you quoted the stats. He doesn't have a lot of playing time. He's pretty impressive when you watched a little bit of film that you got, but also you have to think about the quality opponent that he was playing against. Okay. Now, one of the things I look at is that when Florida State was moving and jiving in the offense, okay, when Mike Norvell had this offensive going, right, the QB room averaged 64.9% completion. Okay. So basically, they completed 65% of their passes, right, with at least six explosive pass plays of 20 plus yards per game when that offense was humming. In the 2-10 season, so last year, that dropped to 52% completion with only barely three explosive plays per game. That's a significant drop off. Significant. So if Florida State's going to beat Alabama, Thomas Castellanos is going to have to complete a high percentage of his passes, and Gus Malzahn is going to have to draw up more explosive plays. And he knows. I mean, this is not Nick Saban's Alabama, which Gus Malzahn was one of the few coaches that had the most success against Nick Saban. But he understands how these athletes work in the SEC. So I'm coming under the assumption that he's going to be able to draw up really good place. Now, if we're dinking and dunking all night, let me just tell you, Florida State's going to lose. Okay. We need smart decisions, but when Thomas Castellanos has those let it rip moments, he's got to let it rip. When he's got Deuce Robinson streaking down the sidelines, just throw it up there. I mean, basically the worst thing it becomes is a punt, but we've got to take those chances. We've got to run the ball. We just can't like dink and dunk to try to do that. I think number two, and you and I talk about this all the time. You already know what I'm going to say. It's the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. In Alabama's last four losses, their quarterback was sacked an average of 4.3 times a game. Okay. And he was hit at least seven times a game.
James Williams. I'm looking at you, bro.
Looking at you, man.
Your nickname is Sack. Let's go.
Come on. So when Alabama's quarterbacks are clean, man, they tend to dominate. And they typically have really good offensive line, but they've not had the same type of offensive line that they had previously. So this is going to be our opportunity. Tony White, man, you brought that 3-3-5 stack defense that we hated from NC State, and now you brought it here. Man, dial it up. Bring some exotic blitzes. I mean, get this quarterback uncomfortable. This is his first big-time game as well. And then on the other side of the line, gosh, we just need this offensive line to make just can we get like maybe 3 to 4 yards average, like at the initial contact? Right? Can we keep Thomas clean when he's got to drop back? Can we open up some good holes? Like that would be super helpful. And I think if we can do the semblance of that, that's going to give us a fighting chance. And then just to be real, my third biggest thing is we gotta steal some possessions and we've got to play to win. This is where I think Mike Norvell does come into play because he's like, I don't know if you remember this, but they used to call Bobby Bowden the riverboat gambler, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
Right. Cause he would just come up with some crazy, the punts Ruski, the fumble Ruski, all those things. We're going to need Mike Norvell and Gus Malzahn to have some trick plays ready to go because I do think that Alabama will have the better athletes as a totality on the field, right?
Yep.
But I think Florida State I remember early on in Mike Norvell's tenure when the national pundits were saying he's one of the most brilliant offensive minds because he was drawing up stuff that you were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, dang. What happened to that over the last two seasons? I mean, even in the 2023 season, you didn't see a lot of that. I mean, yeah, we had the better athletes, but you still didn't see a lot of that.
Right.
I think him and Mike, him and Gus Malzahn need to get back to that because you just don't beat Bama straight up. You go back and look at how Tennessee beat them, how Vandy beat them last year. They had some stuff up their sleeves that they were ready for. So a strip slack, a fake punt, a block punt, come on, JP, right? A gutsy 4th-and-3, man, that's what flips the game. If we call this thing conservative, then Bama's going to win in the fourth quarter, but we should play to win, and I'll bet we got to play to win.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point because realistically, all the pressure is on Bama. I mean, because if they lose this game, it's going to be like, ha-ha, you lost to Florida State that went 2-10 last year, you know what I mean? So I think all the pressure is on Bama, so you might as well let it all hang out. And I think you're right. To me, it really comes down to like three things. It is one, you have to be able to run the ball because that's going to make a big difference. You got to be, because we couldn't run it last year, and that's what really killed us. Two, you have to stop them from running the ball because you want to put this game on Ty Simpson's arm on a guy who's making his first start. And then three, I think, like you said, man, you got to protect the ball and create a few extra possessions because what we're going to talk about in our next episode next week, which was a great idea by Michael, is kind of like, what is your ceiling and what is your floor? What is your best and worst case scenarios for next year? And one of the things that I think people lose sight of was the turnover margin last year was abysmal. We were -16 in turnover margin last year. And Phil Steele, who does a preseason magazine, he has like data going way back on this where typically if your turnover margin is double digits, one, but skewed really, really far in one direction or the other, it's almost statistically impossible to repeat that. So if you just take care of the ball, don't give them extra possessions. And, we didn't really create almost any turnovers last year.
No.
If you get one strip sack, if you get one interception from that rookie quarterback and you don't turn the ball over, which is something that they said has been a really good part of spring there. And honestly, man, I think Thomas Castellanos is surprisingly putting in some work, right?
Yeah.
He's working with quarterback gurus and things like that. I think he might surprise some folks, but you take care of the ball. You run the ball, you control the ground game, and then you hit some of them explosives. And the last thing I'll say about this is I don't think Florida State's necessarily going to be intimidated, right? You have Squirrel White who came in from Tennessee. And keep in mind, you're talking about explosive plays. In 2023, he put up over 100 yards on Alabama. You talk about a Gunnar Hansen, your starting tackle. He was on that Vanderbilt team that beat them. So there are guys on this team that have went toe-to-toe with Alabama and beat them. Now, they know it's not going to be easy, and they know the caliber of athletes that, you know, I'm sure when the 247 talent rankings come out, you're going to be pretty considerably behind Alabama, but so was Vanderbilt.
That's right.
So was probably Oklahoma. Tennessee was probably pretty far behind them too. So it just takes – it could be a thing of one or two plays, but you can't – you cannot look like you did last year like you said, it's a flat, stale offense. You're getting whipped in the line of scrimmage. You do those things, I think Florida State has a chance. And this game is so massively important for the perception of this program under Mike Norvell.
Under Mike Norvell.
That a win would be insane. Just, oh, man. It would just be
so great.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a Miami fan at the gym the other day, and it's funny because I go to this little small gym in South Carolina, and it's like there's a Miami fan, a Florida fan, and a Florida State fan in here. It's kind of crazy. But we were talking about that game, and he's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to come to the gym on Monday if y'all win that game. I was like, my head won't be able to fit through the door of the gym, so you don't have to worry about that.
Like Vince McMahon, you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah, that would be crazy. But, man, it would just be so big for the perception of this program under Mike Norvell. Now, again, you can't flop the rest of the season, but you could realistically, if you win this game, you could be going into that Miami game at 4-0 if you don't lose to Virginia. Oh, yeah. So it would be huge. But, you know, again, like if you lose, those other two games aren't going to move the needle. So then the pressure to perform after that is huge. So I think this is the most important game in Mike Norvell's tenure in Tallahassee. And I think they do have a chance to win it. But man, if they don't, then the pressure is on the rest of the season. Then that Miami game is going to be huge.
Well, I just want Noel Nation, Plant the Spear fans, you Jesse is hitting this on the nail right here. You losing this game, regardless of how we lose it. If it's a blowout, like whatever, this season's done pretty much. But if it's even close, the pressure to perform after this is going to be astronomical. Yeah. Like intense pressure, because what is at stake after a loss to Alabama in the first game of season is not just record and feelings. It's money. Yeah. It's your money. It's my money. It's Jesse money. It's our money. It's our money to get these players to say yes to Florida State. It's our money to get these players to continue to say yes to Florida State. It's our money to be able to afford the things that needs to get Florida State where it needs to be. Now, granted, we have a quicker way to get out of this trash conference of the ACC sooner rather than later, so we get the bigger payday. But right now, we need money. Florida State needs that money. And this win, or hopeful win, could change that. It could give better willed feelings towards Mike Norvell that he could be the guy who gets us back to the top. But if he loses, yes, you can still win the ACC, still get into the playoffs, like, and might be forgiven. But the pressure to do that gets astronomical. So let's not miss what Jesse's saying here, because that is a big deal.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because the money that you're probably going to be would be invested into, like, okay, all right, I'm back on the Mike Norvell train. Things are working out great. Let's start dumping money into NIL and facilities. Well, guess what? That's going to be going to a buyout now, than likely. So I think it is massive, man. It would do so much for this program. And I mean, again, if you lose one of the next two games after that, then you just fire everybody, cancel the rest of the season, because those are cannot lose games. But yeah, I mean, it just sets the stage for the rest of the season and how pressure filled every game is. Because at that point, if you lose that one, then every game is going to be like, you know, I've already seen on social media where people are posting threads, how many losses gets Mike Norvell fired this year? And it tells you that the belief is just not there. So for him, this is his chance. To prove that he can still do it. So that's where we feel about this. Let us know in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube what you think about this game and how big it is. Now, the last two things I want to talk about real quick is the CFP board or whatever they are. They did vote to approve straight seeding this year, which means it won't be any more like the conference champion gets the seeds or whatever. So it'll just be straight 1 through 12. You know, you still have your AQ bids in there as well. So I think that's a good move, Michael. I think it's the way it should have been last year. I think there should be some incentive for finishing up high in the rankings, you know, where like you had an Arizona State team who kind of snuck in and then got that bye or whatever. I think this is the right move, because it's one of those, you kind of live and you learn from the mistakes. I know people are getting kind of tired of it changing every single year. But I think this is one where it should have happened that way, because to me, there still should be some incentive for trying to finish, you know, number one or number two or something like that. So, yeah, they go to straight seeding this year. I don't know that it's going to matter for us, but I hope it does if we make it into the playoffs. But again, man, that's the crazy thing. Like, you could still lose this Alabama game and still make the playoffs. So it's not like do or die for the rest of your season. It just makes the pressure almost insurmountable, right? But yeah, straight seeding for 2025.
Yeah, I think any college football fan thought the seeding process last year was, when it came out, you're like, wait, what? Like, how did Arizona State get a top four seed? And let's just be real. Like, no offense to Kenny Dillingham. We love you, Dilly. But Arizona State did not deserve a top four seed last year, right? They weren't the four best teams. Did they deserve an entrance into the playoff because they won their conference championship? Absolutely. They should have been in. But I like how – I like going to the college football playoff top 25 ranking to do the seeding. I think that's the best way to do it. Well, the conversation is going to be, is like, let's say Georgia loses the SEC title game. And so, but then don't get punished. They're still number two because, the whole conspiracy theory. I think that's where the conversation is now going to shift to. But I do think the straight seeding is going to be much better because it actually awards for you being one of the best teams in the country instead of you getting the top four seeding because you were a conference champion. You could be a conference champion like Arizona State and still not be as good as Georgia is. So
I was going to say, and I think it also rewards big games, right? Because, you know, if you look at just getting that bye as a conference champion, well, say you're Florida State, like what incentive do you have to schedule the Alabama I mean, I know Florida's a rivalry game, but what incentive do you have?
Right.
None, because as long as you win your conference, you're good. But now, like this, and that's the thing, like with this Bama game, one thing that I didn't even mention is, so maybe you don't win the ACC. Well, if you want to make it into the playoffs, and I know a lot of us are going to be like, oh, well, we're not a playoff team this year. Well, we're just talking hypothetically here. This would be huge for an at-large bid.
Yes.
So if you were to win this game and then maybe you don't make the ACC championship, this would be massive for that. Right. So I think it does reward these bigger games too.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, I think with this, there's going to be more scrutiny on those at-large bids. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to happen until they determine whether or not the SEC, Big Ten are going to get four automatic qualifiers and all that stuff, at least in this next iteration. So 2025, what's going to be more at scrutiny is the at-large bid. So once the conference champions win their championship, then it's going to be, okay, so who are they at-large? Because once you get that, then it's going to be, let's say you have a 9-3 team versus a 8-4 SEC team. And that 9-3 team is a Big Ten team or an ACC team, right? Now you're going to have scrutiny over, well, that 8-4 SEC team played better games than the 9-3 ACC or Big 12 team. That's where you're going to see a lot of the conversation around. Not necessarily. I think the top four, depending on whether or not they're champions or not, are not going to matter. Like, I think most of us are going to agree those top four teams are the best teams in the country right now. The conference champions will get in. And then the conversation becomes, well, how do you delineate between a 9-3 SEC team versus a 9-3 Big 12 team or a 9-3 ACC team, right? That's where a lot of those conversations are going to kind of come into play.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the last thing I want to talk about real quick here is some baseball. As the regular season has wound down, we are in the postseason now. Florida State is getting ready to have their first game in the ACC Championship Series this afternoon at 3:00 on Friday. By the time you watch this, the game may already be in the books. They are playing the number 7 seed Duke. It's been kind of a crazy tournament already. There has been some top seeds or higher ranked seeds that are already been booted out of this thing. I think Louisville's already out. Wake Forest is already out. So that's good because those are two teams that we didn't do so great against. So if you beat Duke, now keep in mind, it is a single elimination format this year. So it is one and done. You got to win this game against Duke, which is why they are going to throw Jamie Arnold on this game on the mound for today, because, you know, if you don't win, then it doesn't matter to hold him. Michael, the only thing that worries me is if you win this game, you get North Carolina next. And we know that was just a 2-1 series loss there against the Tar Heels. Georgia Tech and Clemson are on the other side of the bracket today, so we'll see how that goes. They take on Cal and NC State, so we'll see how those play out. So you know, man, if you get past this one, then you get on to North Carolina. And I think this is, again, you're with that series loss against North Carolina, you're still really trying to prove that you need to be one of those top eight national seeds so you can host that regional, because it's going to be huge for Florida State to host. So they do take on the Blue Devils today at 3 o'clock on Friday. So we hope, wish them the best of luck. It would be awesome to maybe bring home a conference championship. So if you make it past this one, like I said, you're going to take on the winner of North Carolina, Boston College, probably going to be North Carolina there. And then on the other side, it'll be the winner of NC State and Clemson or Georgia Tech and California. So man, it's going to, you got some stiff competition coming up if you make it past Duke, but best of luck guys today in Durham. Make sure you tune in for that at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you know, it'd be great for FSU baseball to win the ACC championship here. But what more they're fighting for is seeding. Yeah. Because right now in the D1 baseball RPI that the NCAA puts out, Florida State is ranked 15. That would mean that they're outside of hosting a super regional. They'd get a regional, but then they would have to go on the road depending on who is on the other side of them. And so a win against Duke, who's ranked 29th right now, would be an arm up. And then if they could win, beat Duke and actually go and avenge the win against North Carolina, North Carolina's ranked 7. That could, in theory, yeah, get you back into that top 8 where now you're one of the national seeds and not just a regional seed. And so that's really what they're playing for. Yes, an ACC championship would be great, right? But really what they're trying to do is get their seeding in the right way so that they could have a successful run through the NCAA baseball tournament.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech did take home the regular season championship. That's right. But they, I was looking at some stuff, and I want to say they had a losing record against some of their best competition, and they didn't face the top 3 teams in the conference during the right. regular season. So it's kind of a faux regular season championship. So it would be big to bring home, but, man, we're cheering for those guys. Hopefully they go up there in Durham and do some good stuff, man, hopefully. But that's going to be it for today's show, guys. We appreciate you tuning in. Again, let us know in the comments what you think. Like and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. Again, we appreciate, thank you guys so much for pushing us over the 2,000 mark. You know, it's one of those things where it's like once you get close, you start just trying to make it over the hump. And we asked you guys and you came through. You pushed us way over that. So we appreciate it. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. Again, we also have plantthespear.com, our website. I know I've been slack about writing articles. I promise I'm trying to get back to it. But obviously we just kind of busy during the summertime here, but make sure you guys check that out, and we will catch you on the next one. As always, go Noles.
Go Noles.